journey into the Citadel, where our pastor is Superintendent Johnson A. Bevan III. We hope you enjoyed this podcast.
Others can also join us today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we embark and break into the word of the Lord today. Father, we thank you again for this great day that you've blessed us with. You kept us in the night season, and you preserved us and protected us even while we slept. You protected our homes. We thank you, God, for your grace upon us. And we thank you for waking us up this morning. We do not take it lightly, God, that we woke up this morning and even in our right mind. And so we thank you, God, for waking us up. We thank you, Lord, for keeping us clothed in our right minds. And we just thank you, God, for the grace that we have through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the salvation that you've given unto us that only comes through him. And we thank you, our elder brother, for shedding your blood on Calvary's cross, the blood that never loses its power, the blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and even gives us a right and an access to the Father, our God, and your Father as well. And so we just thank you for the grace that we have. And we thank you, O God, for the gift of the Holy Ghost that allows the realities of heaven to be made real upon here on the earth, and for us, God, to truly walk with you and to have the comfort that comes from your presence with us through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray that you will look upon our time here today as we would embark upon your word. Give unto us, God, what is needful for our life, our enrichment, for our instruction, and for our growth. We pray, God, again, a prayer for this country, for we're in dire need, God, yet still of your healing hand to move throughout this land. Even in the midst of this pandemic, some numbers are rising, others are remaining steady, but God, we need your hand to intervene in this moment in time in history of the world. For Lord, you yet still are sovereign, and therefore you are yet in control of the affairs of humanity and what takes place upon this earth. And so we yet still bless you and we glorify you. We again pray, Lord, for those who have been affected and infected and afflicted even through and in this pandemic. For many, God, have lost loved ones. We still pray for them. Others who have lost loved ones, God, not necessarily from the virus, but yet, God, they have been taken from us. But we know, God, that all souls belong to you. And so we thank you, God, for the amount of time and that you granted those lives to be with us on this earth, and that, God, their memory would be blessed, and that, God, they certainly would rest in you. And we pray, God, for you to continue to save, even in this day, even through this pandemic, to save, God, so that the church triumphant continues to grow because of your grace and because of your power to save us from our sins and to save us even from ourselves and also to deliver us out of the hand of the evil one. Father, I pray a special prayer for those who may be physically ailing and having conditions even through this. It may be COVID-related, it may not be. But Lord, we pray that you would touch and heal and deliver and set free. We pray a special prayer for Brother Paul Thompson, God, that you would look upon him right now, strengthen him in his body. And whatever God is trying to invade, or whatever God is trying to disrupt physical and health and vitality, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And we declare the blood of Jesus Christ and the properties in his blood, not only to save, but also to heal. For you sent your word and it healed them. And also, God, you healed as even was done through ministry here upon the earth. So, Father, we pray that as we come before you, we lift up our brother, that, God, you would touch him and heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. And not only him, but also others, O God, who are afflicted in this hour and in this moment of any kind of disease or sickness. And we declare the healing power, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the virtue and the power of the Holy Spirit to invade wherever they are and to bring them forth, God, in strength and vitality. Again, Lord, bless us as we listen to your word here on this day, honoring you and gathering here at this moment together in worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on now, give a shout real quick. If you do a comment, I'll throw something in there about how good God has been to you. I know he's kept you all day long and kept you all week long, matter of fact. And no matter what you were doing yesterday, God kept you. And so he is the one that keeps us. He graces us. And so we want to give praise and honor to him. So just go ahead and put something in the comments section there of some thanks and praise, something of worth unto God, for he has been so good to us. And as we continue on here, certainly engage with me with an emoticon or some kind of emoji or something, or just make a comment, question, even as we go along the way, or to put down a certain point or something that sticks with you. But as you know, we've been studying the book of Acts. God bless you, Lady Coleman. Good to see you this morning. Give a shout out to my friend, Pastor Coleman there. We've been in the book of Acts here, dealing with the subject matter, a theological perspective on Pentecost. And it's been our intent as we've been going through this study to see the day of Pentecost beyond the event itself. And that, again, is not to minimize the event, but to maximize it by seeing it through the eyes of theology, all right, to seeing it with a greater understanding. So I've shared with you that theology is like a lens that helps us see Scripture from a broader perspective to gain a better understanding of it and also to see how it relates to life. In this chapter, we've certainly laid out for you, it's consisting of several things here, but one is the event of Pentecost, also its extent and effect right after what took place there on that day, and then the explanation that's given by the Apostle Peter as he stands up with the other 11 and makes a declaration about what is taking place. And then after that is the effect of his explanation. That is done in two parts, the immediate effect. And we have already, and we are going to be taking a look finally here at the after effects. We've seen the immediate effect, and we're into the after effect. As I said, we've covered all the way through, basically through verse 45 in the chapter, from even into the after effect that we're here. And all of this brings us really to our concluding portion of this final segment and the conclusion of this chapter. But theologically, we're taking a look at this, taking a look at what we see there, but also to look at it from a theological perspective. And theologically, we moved along in viewing the aspects of the day of Pentecost through the lens of what we call pneumatology, that's dealing with the Holy Spirit. Eschatology, that's dealing with the last days or the last things. Christology, which deals with Jesus Christ. And soteriology, which addresses the subject matter of salvation. And so for further explanation of those terms and their connection to Pentecost, I certainly encourage you to go back and view the previous video teachings again. You can just hit the video tab on our Facebook page here, and there'll be just scroll down and there will be a description so you will know what portion is what to get a further explanation on those theological terms. But in this latter portion of Acts chapter 2, dealing with the after effect, all right, of the preaching and the explanation of what took place, in dealing with the after effect in verses 42 to 47, we move from soteriology, that is the subject matter of salvation, to ecclesiology, all right, and that deals with the doctrine or the study of the church. And again, we have explained that term, ecclesiology, in a few of our previous segments here. So you can go back and get a little further explanation on that. But what we find in this final portion of Acts chapter 2 is a cameo of the early church, its distinguishing marks, the essential elements of its religious functioning. I know some folks don't like that word religion or religious, but it does have positive connotation. But we see here the distinguishing marks, the essential elements of the church's religious functioning, and even a glimpse into the inner life of this new community that was created, this new community that emerged from the outpouring of the Spirit. And so just quickly again, let's look at verse 42. I'm going to read quickly. Verse 42 to 47. And they continued steadfastly, excuse me, They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Again, we're taking a look at a theological perspective on Pentecost. And we've taken a look at these verses here from 42 to 45 previously, the last time we were together, the last two segments, I believe. But in our concluding focus today, with verses 46 and 47, I'm going to include verses 42 through 45. And in doing so, in seeing the relationship, of the church's functioning, all right? That's called ecclesiology again, all right? In seeing the church's relationship of its functioning as a fellowship, and particularly by what they, as the scripture says, continued steadfastly in, what they devoted themselves to and what they gave constant attention to. But this relationship perspective within their functioning is gleaned from John R.W. Stott, who was a tremendous gift in and to the body of Christ. He was honored by Time Magazine in 2005 as one of the 100 most influential people in the world. And he transitioned to the church triumphant in 2011. But there are four things here. Again, in combining and closing this out with verses 42 all the way through the end here, 47. First of all is this. The church is a learning community. All right. The church is a learning community. For we read in verse 42 again, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. All right. So as a fellowship, sharing something in common, fellowship, all right, having something in common, the church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or their teaching. This is really how the church relates to its leaders. This is how the church relates to its leaders. The church is to be eager in receiving instruction in from the preaching and teaching gifts in the church. In other words, the church must value the Word of God and also value the gifts of God. All right? The church must value the Word of God and also value the gifts of God. Now, as to the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16, I know most of you all know this by heart, but certainly I don't want somebody to think that I don't read out of the Bible. But in 2 Timothy 3:16, it declares unto us, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Look at this. It is profitable or beneficial, all right? It is useful. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I like the way that it reads in the New Living Translation, and like this, says, all scripture is inspired by God. That means God breathed. God breathed out his word. All scripture is inspired by God. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. That sort of makes it plain, that doesn't it? To teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us, he continues on the NLT. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the church must, first of all, value the word of God, for they gave themselves. They were a learning church, And we're a learning church, all right? We need to value the word of God as they attended to the teaching of the apostles. But as to the gifts of God, I say we must value the word of God, but also we must value the gifts of God, all right? As to the gifts of God, God gave the church specific gifts, all right? And these gifts that Christ gave to us, he sort of enumerates in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, in terms of purpose. The NLT reads like this again. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. King James says, and he gave some, all right? Meaning he gave some gifts. So further up in the King James text, it says, then Christ gave gifts, all right? He gave gifts, and he gave those gifts to the church. And these are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. And the NLT continues on the reading of the scripture. Their responsibility in Ephesians 4 and 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue. The King James says, until we come. All right. This will continue until we all come to the unity, to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So the bottom line, we see here the early church, and as we are today and should be, that the church is a learning fellowship. But this is how the church relates to its leadership. One, two, it values the word of God, it values the gifts of God, and is eager to receive the instruction of God that comes from the gifts, the ministry gifts that God has placed into the church. So the church is a learning community, a learning fellowship. But secondly, even in the text here we read, the church is a loving fellowship. The church is a loving fellowship. Not only is it a learning fellowship, but the church is a loving fellowship. Again, we're dealing with ecclesiology, all right? Dealing with matters pertaining to the church. Verse 42, again, the second part, not only were they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, but also they continued steadfastly in fellowship. In fellowship, okay? Now, as a fellowship, that is, again, sharing in something common. And in this case, we share in common a great salvation of God's grace. And so the church continues steadfastly in fellowship together. We talked about that a little bit in depth in the last time we were together. And the church continues steadfastly in fellowship together, expressing this grace, all right? This great salvation that we have, expressing this grace. And also its generosity, because God's grace is generous, all right? We're only saved out of the generosity of God's grace, the generosity of his love, all right? And so this really, though, is how the church relates in terms of relationship. This is how the church relates to each other, especially in love, in dealing with fellowship. Being the church, we are not, neither were those in this day, in the early day of the church. Being the church, we are not only called out. And a lot of times we talk about ecclesia, all right, the church, that we're the called out ones. But we're not only called out ones. We're not only called out, but we're also called together, all right, a call to be together, called as one. And so in so being, we can see from these verses here in this latter part of Acts chapter 2, that as a fellowship, the church is a connected community by grace, all right, and a caring community by generosity. And again, we dealt with that in great detail the last time we were together. So you can go back and check that out. But being a fellowship of one, it was expressed in their attitude toward each other. And our fellowship is not just sharing a good feeling towards one another, but it's also sharing by showing generosity with one another, especially when in need. And we dealt with that much in detail last time in concert also with a portion of Acts chapter 4. So go back and check that out if you can. But the bottom line was this. The church showed they were connected, because it's a connected community. The church showed they were connected, and we show that we are connected by being together, as well as the church showed they cared by what they shared. And and they shared out of their substance, all right? And so the church is connected, and we show that connectedness by being together, and we show that we do care, again, by what we share. Now, we have a ministry team that shows this connecting aspect and this caring relationship by going to the homes of the seniors of our local church facility, visiting them, praying with them, taking some gifts as well, and doing all of this and following COVID guidelines during this pandemic. But the church as a fellowship is a connected body, all right? We're together. And we show that we care by what we share. This sharing could be of so many different things as well, as we talked about the other time. But that's important, that we're really a loving fellowship. And that's what we're seeing here in terms of the fellowship of the early church that continues through the thread, and the Spirit of God enables us to be caring and to be sharing and to remain connected as a fellowship, as a people of God, and as a body of Christ, all right? But let's get into the portion here that we have not really addressed specifically. And this brings us to the third thing about the functioning of the church. Thirdly is this, the church is a worshiping fellowship. And I know this is something that you already know, all right? But we're taking a look at it to see, again, really the basic things. And these are some of the basic things that if we're not able to do these things, all right, if we're not able to be learning, if we're not able to be loving, if we're not loving, if we're not learning, if we're not worshiping, all right, we're not being the church. And that's what was brought forth out of the day of Pentecost, all right, the functioning of the church and the power of the church and how the great grace had fallen upon the church. But the church is a worshiping fellowship. Again, in verse 42, it speaks of they continue steadfastly in breaking of bread and in prayers. And look at verse 46 as we continue on in concluding this chapter. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord or together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47, praising God. Praising God, all right? Now, not only did the church, did they meet together to eat meals together, and I know we like to do that all the time. We call that fellowship, all right? That's what we do. We get together, and we meet together to eat together. How many of y'all like to eat together? I know it's been a little bit difficult and different during this pandemic, but yet I know some of us been eating together. But not only did they meet together to eat together, they eat meals together in their homes. They also met together in a spirit of unanimity, all right, to worship together. And this here expresses how the church relates to God. This is how the church relates to God. We can meet together two ways. We can meet informally, and we can meet, we might say, formally. We can meet together informally, as it says in the text here, from house to house, all right? Meaning we can hollow out a place and make it a house to worship God, all right? We can hollow, not H-O-L-L-O-W, but H-A-L-L-O-H-A-L-L-O-W. We can consecrate or make something holy to make it a place of worship or a house of worship, all right? And certainly that's what the phrase in dealing with in the breaking of bread, which probably gives reference to the Lord's Supper, all right, in terms of worship and that. But it also, we can hollow out of place to make it a place or a house of worship in prayers to God, for it speaks of them praying. And these here were prayers specifically to God. The term that's used here is prayer to God, all right? We make out a place, we can hollow out a place informally. You know, we can do this in Starbucks. I know I pray with people. That's worship, all right? That's worship, informal, all right? Where we are, ministering to people where they are. And so we can hollow out a place to make it a house of worship in giving prayers to God And also, as the text read, in praise, and this term here speaks of praise, even a little bit including with singing, all right? It's praise to God with singing at times for the benefits that we've received from Him or expect to receive from Him. So we can worship informally pretty much almost anywhere. And that's why the church is where we are, because we are the church. All right, we can make a place of worship, to sanctify it, to honor God and to worship Him. It doesn't just have to be in a formal setting. But when where two or three are together, He is in the midst of us. And I know that's, and I don't want to take that out of context, because that's dealing in the midst of some decision making and discipline matters. But when the church comes together in agreement, all right, the Lord is there. The Lord is there with us. And so we can come together. We can meet together informally. All right. But also we can meet together formally. Not only did they meet daily going from house to house, right, but they also met formally, as it says here in verse 46, in the temple. Okay. In the temple. Now they continue to meet in the temple. And this is the temple Heron. This is not the Nas. We've talked about this before. We said that we are the temple of the Lord. We are the sanctuary that God rests, all right? And you can go back again and look at some of the other videos. We deal with that a little bit more in detail. But this was not the Nas that it speaks of here, but rather this is the Heron. This is the temple complex, all right? They continued to meet after getting saved, all right, after being baptized, all right, after the Lord filled and many received Jesus Christ, all right. The church grew on the one day there to about 3,000. It included over to 120, about 3,000 were added to the church. They continued to meet in the temple, even as you read in Acts chapter 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, all right? So they met formally. We also can meet formally. It's a little bit more difficult, a little bit. Things are different now because of this pandemic. But the temple here was not necessarily, again, as I said, the actual inner part of the sanctuary of the temple, but rather probably a courtyard in the temple complex. They met in an area in the courtyard and made it a meeting place, all right? In the temple complex. And so they went to the temple still, right? Because they had not ceased of thinking themselves as being Jews. All right. Again, many of them were Jews, all right? And so they didn't stop thinking of themselves as being Jews, but unlike most of the Jews, these had believed and recognized Jesus as the Messiah who has come, because that's who they were waiting on, their hope of salvation. And so the church is a worshiping community, and we're not restricted from worshiping just by meeting in a particular place or building that we call a church, if you will, today, all right? But we can hollow out a place and make it a house of worship, to where we worship God in prayer, worship God in God in praise and song and in singing unto Him. All right. And so we can do that even now in the best way that we can. We're yet still worshiping. The church is yet still worshiping. We're coming together right here. All right. To get instruction, because we're learning fellowship. We're learning community. And that's what we're doing here together. But fourthly, as my time is about closing, winding down here, church is a witnessing fellowship. Okay, hope you got that. The church, number one, is a learning fellowship. Number two, the church is a loving fellowship. Number three, the church is a worshiping fellowship. And fourthly, the church is a witnessing fellowship. Again, we read in verse 47. Let's go to verse 46 and just read that together. And they continuing daily with one accord are together in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. That's dealing with worship and eating their meals with gladness and singleness of heart. They were fellowshipping there, their regular general meals as well. Paul even talks about this in the book of Corinthians, when they were coming together, and he got on them. But when they came together and had meals, they also often would have worship in terms of the Lord's Supper. And Paul was dealing with them how that some of them ate before others even got there to enjoy and being in fellowship together, all right? But they were breaking bread from house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and check this out, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. The church is a witnessing fellowship. You might be saying, well, how do you get that out of that, Brother Pastor? Well, right here, there is no indication in the text that there was a separation of the church, the temple, and the synagogue. With the church then yet worshiping, all right, coming together, meeting in the temple, all right, and presumably also continuing in the community synagogues, meeting there as well. Because you read a little later on, as Paul went through his ministry, he went into the synagogue, all right? He went into the synagogue. And so here, there's really no indication of the separation of the church from the temple and again, presumably the synagogue, all right? So they were worshiping, going into the temple, worshiping, as they gathered there in a courtyard, found a meeting place. Y'all know how we do it, when we gather someplace and we get together, all right? We get in a little corner or something sometimes, and we go to certain spots and say, we're meeting over here, come on over here. All right. And in so doing, they also continued to meet together from house to house, meaning really, they really were going from neighborhood to neighborhood. Okay. I'm sure they all weren't all clustered together in one little block. All right. So they continued to meet going from neighborhood to neighborhood in the temple, meeting at the temple and going throughout the neighborhood. Okay. And what this was an environment affording the church witnessing an evangelistic opportunity, and particularly because they yet still had favor with all the people. You think about it. Miracles, signs, and wonders are still happening, all right? Things are taking place, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And as they're going about to and fro, a lot is happening, and they're still able to come to the temple, all right? They weren't ostracized from coming to the temple. They had some issues as time went on, all right? But they met. They found a place where they can meet together. And they continued to worship, all right? They continued to praise God. They continued to talk about the goodness of the Lord. And wherever we go, it's all right to talk about the goodness of the Lord. Whoever we're with, it's all right to bring something up about the Lord and even to inquire about their spiritual journey as well. Now, they're going from neighborhood to neighborhood, or from one Starbucks to another, or from this place to another. Their being seen and heard was really a witnessing opportunity. And as they continued going about worshiping, going about praying, going about praising God, look what the Lord did. The Lord, all right, it wasn't them, but the Lord, this is in passive mood here, all right? And the Lord continued growing the church community by adding to their number those who were being saved, all right? So in receiving this witness, all right, as they're going about, as people were receiving this witness, their witness, and undoubtedly also hearing of the word of God, as Peter did on this day, particularly as Peter exhorted them, we read a little further up in verse 40, Peter exhorted them themselves from this untoward generation, all right? We know that in actuality, we cannot save ourselves because salvation is a gift of God, it's not of works, all right? But he told them, he exhorted them to save themselves from this untoward generation. And the fact and what the Lord did the saving, all right? The Lord did the saving. And many were being saved, all right, from belonging to the rebellious, sinful group of people who were really under God's judgment in that they had rejected the Messiah. They had rejected Jesus Christ. And so these persons were being saved, All right. And then so doing, they were saving themselves, all right, from being connected with the community that rejected Jesus. But they were accepted and received into the community that received Jesus Christ as the Lord. And so even in this pandemic, we must continue worshiping and witnessing to the world in whatever way we can, all right, as we're doing even here right now. In every way that we can, even in this pandemic, we have an opportunity to continue to worship God because we can hollow out a place, all right, as a worship place and hollow it out to sanctify it and to make it a consecrated piece of real estate, if you will, to worship God in prayer and song and thanksgiving. And even in going out from neighborhood to neighborhood, you can get a sing-along in the parking lot. You can get a sing-along in the neighborhoods, wherever they may be. All right. You don't have to have a church even to do it. All right. You can get everybody. You can get those in your neighborhood and do that. All right. But it's an opportunity to continue worshiping and witnessing to the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us to a close with this study. We've gone through the entire chapter 2 here of the book of Acts, and again, looking at it through the lens of theology, and hopefully it's been some enrichment to you in your walk with God and your understanding of the scripture and seeing it a little bit more in depth and broader, particularly in relation to the day of Pentecost. Often we just read about it and we stop right there, and we even stop about it in verse 17 when Peter gets up saying, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days," and we pretty much stop at that chapter, and that's all we do with the day of Pentecost. But we wanted to give a broader perspective in looking at this in its entirety. Again, not to just merely look at the day of Pentecost, but to look beyond the actual event itself, not minimizing it, but seeing it in greater depth in terms of its ramifications and using the lens of theology in doing so. So we've gone through a lot, and I thank you for maintaining and sticking with me on this particular subject matter. But as we close here today, if you're not saved, you can save yourself. As Peter said, save yourself from this untoward, this rebellious generation. You can save yourself from this world of sin and your own sin, all right, by not rejecting Jesus Christ. That's what these men, that's what the people, when they heard the message, they asked the message, number one, what does this mean? When they saw what took place on the day of Pentecost, and then after Peter preached about it, they asked, what must we do? Okay, he explained it. And then in response to his explanation, they asked, what must we do? And today, in what we've even gone through, all right, you can save yourself from this world, from the world of sin, by not rejecting Jesus Christ, but by accepting him and receiving the salvation that is offered by God through him. Things. Just simply confess your sin and also confess Jesus Christ. The Bible lets us know in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And in Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 9, it reads by the Apostle Paul, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And that's what Peter said in his message, even when he was given the explanation in chapter 2 and verse 21. He says, and it shall come to pass, all right, because we're in that day between the Jesus Christ going and ascending to heaven, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and until the coming of Jesus Christ, his return again, all right? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what I want for you, my friend, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus Christ wants for you. That's what God the Father wants for you. He wants you to be saved. And these here were saved from their rejection of who Jesus Christ was. And in so doing, their sins were forgiven. Will forgive us of our sins if we confess them. And he will receive us unto himself if we receive Jesus Christ. So if you want to make that happen in your life today, and you sincerely believe so in your heart of who Jesus Christ is and what he provides for us, which is salvation, God gives us eternal life. Pray this prayer with me, my friend. Just follow, repeat after me these words. Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner who needs to be saved. I confess my faults. I confess my sin. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin, all of my rebellion, even my rejection of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And in so, I have been justified by faith in him. Receive me and fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Grant unto me the assurance that I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, that's the greatest prayer you've ever prayed in your life. For the Bible lets us know that the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And if you prayed that prayer, sincerely out of your heart, we want to connect with you. We want to know. We want to know that you prayed that prayer. Just simply, if you would, please text 767-62-317-676-0134. Again, text 767-62-317-676-0134. And you'll receive a reply text and tap that link that comes there and just complete the digital connect card. And in the comment section, let us know that I prayed that prayer. We'll know what that means and we will be in touch with you. Again, you may just have a prayer request today, or you may just want to become a part of an online church community. Again, you can text that same number, 767-672-317-676-0134. Then in the comment section, type in your prayer request or just put in there online church. We'll know what that means. Again, my time is, I'm really past my time of I've always intended to be with you. I thank you for remaining with us this morning on this Lord's Day. And certainly we would appreciate any gift of support, donation to the church, to the ministry. There are four ways you can do that. One is through Cash App, and that's $COFCOGIC, $COFCOGIC. You also can give by way of Givelify, which is a mobile giving app. There's a blue bar on our page that reads Use App. Just tap it. That'll take you through right to Givelify. And there will be a description of our time here today, and there will be a link to Givelify in there as well. You also can give by way of PayPal to Citadel of Faith, Church of God in Christ. And the church address, if you'd like to mail in a donation, is 7676 East 38th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46226. And as always, no matter where you are, you can take us along with you. You can get some spiritual inspiration and biblical teaching on the go by downloading our podcast called A Journey to the Citadel. You can find us on Spotify, on Apple and Google Podcasts, on Soundbreaker, also on iHeartRadio, and even on the church's website at citadelkojic.com. Please like us here and follow us here on Facebook. Also follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and that is at Citadel, again, that little sign there, mega A there, at Citadel Kojic on Twitter and Instagram. And as we leave you today, I do believe and hope that you received something of worth. And if that's been the case, please share today's teaching with on your timeline so others can learn with us. And if you wouldn't mind, give us also a recommendation on Facebook. And we'll be back here this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. and continuing our studies concerning the book of Ephesians on the work of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that Lady Rita, she's on here with us today. She and I, we love you very dearly, but more importantly, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as I leave you this morning, my friend, remember the words that Jesus said. I believe it's in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible. Enjoy the remaining portion of this Lord's Day. And until next time, peace and may God bless.